This is Monday.
Never, now, I'm going to say it used to be it wouldn't.
You what?
Used to be I could drink twice that much castor oil and it wouldn't affect me.
You've taken castor oil?
Oh, my God. I was raised on it. That was that used to be our annual cold medicine. Once a week we have pass a bottle around and I'll take a snort.
Yeah.
Castor oil.
Yeah. I can't remember taking it as a regular thing.
In the wintertime, that was a regular thing with my family.
Yeah.
Castor oil.
Yeah. Was that the main thing you said? These other purgatives?
Yeah, castor oil, that was it.
That was it.
You got off pretty easy compared to some.
Faye's taking it too. She may not admit it. What did you take it for, Faye?
Cold. I go to the drugstore and they give it to me in root beer. And I can't stand root beer then and can't stand it now.
You know, when I take a lemon, I can still taste a little castor oil. I can still taste a little castor oil when I taste a lemon. Cause
taste don't bother me.
Yeah. And you took it in root beer. You just went to the drugstore and they'd give it to you.
Oh, it always made me sick.
For cold?
I had a cold and couldn't get out and get over it. That's what the doctor
told
me to do.
If you couldn't get over your cold, the doctor tell you that you can cast it. Or you go to the drugstore and they'd give it to you in root beer. But you could still taste it.
Oh, yeah.
Where'd you find that remedy for poison oak, Cookie? Just always known it?
No. We had a fellow working for us. He was around the name of Hall, Raymond Hall. He was a neighbor there back on the farm. He worked for us back when he worked for 75 cents a day. From daylight to dark.
Yeah.
And Alberta, my sister next to me, she had poison oak all over. Her arm was just in it. Broke out something on it. We had to carry the water back on the mountain when there's a hole in the corn, you know.
That's nothing.
And Raymond told her one day, he said, "Now you get you some of that weed there and rub on your arm." And he said, "That stuff will go away."
Hmm.
And by golly, she did. It did. It went away.
Mm-hmm. You just rub it on.
Yeah.
I don't believe I ever heard of it.
Well, it'll work.
Did you ever hear that thing?
No. There's some pretty used to that here.
And it worked out there?
Yeah.
And that is, he didn't catch part of it?
He didn't catch it, no.
Just rub it on?
Just rub it on. You rub it on until you get the sap out of it on your skin.
Yeah.
And it sure worked.
Well, you know, on the poison oak, the thing I finally found, I had so much of it in my time. Well, I got to looking at it is, it's going to run its course no matter what after you get it. It's going to run its course. Take about a week. And you just soap it off with warm water and put something on there that'll keep it dry. Just like old, what do you use? like soda, just plain old baking soda. I guess there are better things I forget offhand. But the even so, it's not that that does it, but you just sponge it off with warm water, soapy water, and it keeps the itch out.
Mm-hmm.
Keeps the itch out.
You know, that when you get done with a wasp or a hornet or yellow jacket or something like that, Mama used to use sorghum molasses and soda.
Yeah.
Go out and sting out quicker than anything.
Yeah.
Now if we've got a carbuncle on us, well, it's just fat meat and turpentine on us.
Yeah, and I see you.
That little cup. Yeah.
I don't know that I ever had a remedy for stings. I guess I ought to have. You got enough now?
Yeah,
I got enough. I don't know just what I do. A wasp is about as bad as I get. And it'll go away unless they've hit you on a bad place.
And you take right there on that knuckle?
Yeah.
I just come up here in a little watery pimple about the size of a match head. That's lead poison.
I never had that.
That's lead poison.
Out of paint?
No, a gasoline.
Oh, you get a certain amount of that and you'll know it, is that it?
That's right, and you can't resist it. Your body won't resist it. Now I've got another one coming right there.
Yeah.
It's a little pinhead right there.
Well, your body's got more than it can handle.
That's right.
You don't use sugar.
No.
No sir, no sir. You know, I never made hay like you was talking about with a mule and a sorghum mill. Now that's all brand new to me. I never even seen that. Now how would I miss that?
I don't know. But now they did. They had balers that you just went round and around just like you did when you made sorghum molasses. You know how they do that? How they squeeze the juice out of the cane and yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, you gotta stick the cane down that mill and you grind it.
Yeah. Well, now you take you put your hay down in a chute similar to that in a hay baler and your horse goes round and around and winds it up in there and the first thing you know you got a bale of hay and you got to tie it by hand.
Oh.
Yeah, you tie it by hand. Takes three men to run that baler. One to put the hay in.
Off the wagon?
Off the wagon or the stack or wherever it might be, see. And then you got to have one man stick wire through on one side, back through, and another one over on this side to push it back through, and then the other man ties it. That's right.
Well, that's right, smart manpower, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, now, Kenny was talking about that down at the barbershop, you know, and he said the way as I remember it, the hardest thing to do was get the hay in the bin In between the mule, time the mule goes around?
That's right, that's right. You got to have pretty good time. Throw it in the bin just after the mule goes around. Throw your fork full in the bin just after the mule gets past it, see?
Mm-hmm.
Then by the time he gets back around there, well, he's done got the hay's already fed down in the bin, so he won't drag it out with the sweep, see?
Until he won't drag it out.
Yeah, when he goes around again with the sweep, see? He got a big long sweep, and he goes around and around. Well, just as he goes around and he passes that chute, you throw your hay in there.
Yeah.
All right, then he'll come on around, see?
Yeah.
All right, before he can get back around there again, well, the hay's done fed down in there far enough to where when he goes around, the sweep won't knock it off, see?
Oh.
You see?
Oh, yes. Yes. And you got to, that bin will hold just so much.
Just so much. That's right. Just so much.
Yeah.
Just like when you're thrashing wheat and oats, you know. Man is up on top of the thrashing machine feeding the wheat or oats in, he can just feed so much in at the hopper. That's all it would take.
Yeah, so he had to stand there.
He had to stay right there.
Just keep it going, regular, steady.
That's right.
Now there's a long ways from that to this stream of hay, that ribbon of hay that goes through that baler, isn't it?
That's right, a long ways.
You know, I thought I still had that old hopper in my mind, you see. I was thinking about something where it'd just take a little ahead of time if you want to. But this won't work for that.
No.
You can't just give it a nickel worth of hay. You just got to go ahead.
That's right.
You want your bale.
You just got to keep it going.
Now, it'll press it and all like that.
Yeah.
But no telling what your bale will be like.
That's right. It won't press it even.
Well, now, Red Smith is just like the county agent and just like the doctors talking to somebody that uses purgatives. He's been right gentle with me, and he could tell from the way I talked that I had no idea, and he'd been up here no telling how many times.
Yeah.
He knew that I had no conception of what it would do, you see. So he'd come up here and he'd hit a lick or two on that baler, and then we'd go out there and sit down, you see. And Faye'd bring us some tea, something, and we'd talk. Last time he was up here, we talked about Governor Wallace. And at that time, I was allergic to Governor Wallace. After that, I got pretty good turn with him. And I talked pretty strong, you know. But somehow or other, some people never take exception to what you say.
Yeah, that's right.
And others, no matter what you say, they'll get their lip up. No, I could sit out there and say, well, I'll be damned, Red Smith. You think of man your position. No better than that. He would, you know, he just can't. Because when I say things like that, you know, I don't know myself. I mean, the assumption is that I don't know either. So we get along. No, sir, that escaped me. That escaped me. I tell you what, most of the haymaking we did, we threw it up on the wagon and brought it in and used that needle to put it back in the barn.
That's right. Uh-huh.
And just had it loose.
Yes, sir.
And I remember we'd fill it up there to where that thing would hardly drag.
That's right.
And then in a day or two, you could put a whole lot more hay in it.
Oh, yeah. Even if you did get in a trumpet and try to pack it, in 2 or 3 days, you could still put a lot more hay up there.
Yeah. Cody, what do you think happened to your uncle when he moved down here? He sold out.
Yes, sir.
And your daddy bought him out.
Dad bought all the farming equipment, yes, sir.
He had tractor?
Tractor, hay baler, hay rake, mower machine, plow, disc.
Everything to go with the tractor.
Everything to go with the tractor.
And that was in 57.
58. No, it was in 59. Uncle Cluster came down here in 58. But it was in January of 59 that Daddy made this transaction.
Yeah.
That's when it was. 2,250 dollars.
And then you'd been raised there, right there, under your nose.
That's right.
Just grew up there.
That's right.
And then when he come down here, you never seen him.
He didn't know me. And I've been living in Hawthorne since 61.
Yeah.
I lived down south for a little over two and a half years.
Yeah.
And I came to Hawthorne.
Well, did you come down here about the same time he did?
We left West Virginia the same day. Same day.
Well, how did that happen?
I don't know. We left on the 15th day of October.
58?
Right. 15th day of October, 1958.
He come to Gainesville?
He come to Gainesville, straight to Gainesville. Well, it took me 4 days to get here. Because I was pulling a house trailer for another fella, about like this and over here.
Yeah.
Just about such a trailer as that over there. I was pulling behind a 48 GMC 3/4 ton truck.
Yeah.
And 40 miles an hour is all I'd do.
Yeah, afraid to?
I was afraid of my tires, because if I'd have blew up a tire, I'd have been out of luck.
Yeah.
I'd been walking.
Yeah.
That's all there was to it.
Oh, I'm afraid of tires, even when I got good ones.
So I was loaded heavy, you know. That trailer sitting on the back of that thing, and all squatted down behind, just single tires on the back. I knew I had more time than I had money, because I didn't have no money.
Yeah.
So I just took my time. 40 miles an hour, as fast as I could come.
Yeah.
And I just drove daylight hours. I didn't drive none after dark. If I'd get tired fighting that thing, why, I'd pull over to side of the road and stop, and the old man I was pulling for would pull in behind me, and we'd go inside and cook and eat and drink and just have a big time.
Oh, it wasn't yours?
It wasn't mine, no. It belonged to another fella. He told me, he said, I was broke. I was flat. I didn't have nothing.
In 58?
58, I was broke. I didn't have no money.
Well, when did you get out of Korea?
Oh, 52.
Way back.
Yeah. And he knew I was in a bad situation. And he told me if I'd pull his house trailer down here, I had that truck, you know. He said if I'd pull his house trailer down here, he'd pay my expenses down here, normal expenses, and keep me for 6 weeks after he got me here.
Yeah.
And guarantee me a job when I got here.
Oh, you left the family there.
Oh, yes, I left my family up there. All right, we came down to Umatilla. And I went to work for the Umatilla Citrus Growers Association for 65 cents an hour in 58.
That's inconceivable, then.
That's right. That's all I could find. That's the first thing I could find. I was desperate. I had to work.
Yeah.
7 days a week. I worked 7 days a week.
Yeah.
Every minute I could put in, I was out there punching it.
Yeah.
Well, I'd save. I'd half starve myself and saved enough money to take me back to West Virginia. Get my family and bring them back and pay a month's rent on the house that I was renting.
Yeah.
$50 a month rent for this little two-bedroom house, furnished, which was pretty good.
Own the association owned it?
No, a lady up north of there owned it, about 2 miles north of it, on 19 owned it. She's dead now. She was 83 when I rented it from her. And I go back home at Christmas. I saved enough money to pay my rent, feed myself, and go back home, get my family.
Christmas.
At Christmas. And brought them back to the state of Florida for Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
That was her Christmas present. And hell, I'll tell you right today that that's the best Christmas present she ever got.
Yeah.
That's right. Laura remembers going to school up there.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Well, Cookie, why was it things so pinched up there?
There's just no work. Coal mines had shut down, and I was in the coal mining section, see. And coal mines had shut down.
And you never farmed, not after you got married.
Oh, yes. Yes, I was on the farm when I came down here. I left the farm because I just couldn't make it.
Yeah.
Just couldn't make it.
You stayed with it till you about starved, and then you had to get away.
I starved to death and had to leave.
Yeah. Yeah.
2.5 years I farmed.
And it got so you couldn't go around buying up cattle and make a living at that.
That's right. The price was so invariable.
Yeah.
It's up this week and down next week.
Yeah.
So rotten that you just, by golly, you couldn't judge them.
Yeah.
I never lost no money to speak of on cattle, but I sure didn't make any the last year I traded.
Yeah. I think cattle was one of the last things to sort of bring a fair price. The cattle dealers were always looking for a good buy.
That's right.
And I think most of them are gone now. Everything goes through the livestock market.
That's right.
And it's impersonal. And you'll get the going price for them. Sometimes you'll do better.
That's right.
Any time during the year, just about.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But it hadn't been that way long.
No. Well, see, back then, they only had one market within a radius of about 150 miles, see?
Oh.
Well, back out in these woods, but way back out in the country, see, these people had no means of transportation to get their cattle in to the market, see? So what we'd do, I'd just take my old GMC truck, and I'd go back out, and I'd beat them bushes, you know?
Yeah.
And Buy a truckload.
Yeah.
Like this week, the sale was on of a Friday. Okay, I'd say I'd take off on Wednesday, and Thursday I'd go hunt me a load of cattle Wednesday and Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the last bunch I bought, I get $2,100.
And you kept them 2 weeks and made $25?
No, I didn't keep them at all. I just started shuttling after I bought them. I took my old truck, taking two at a time to market. That's all,
yeah.
I could haul.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And after I bought my gas. It was 35 miles from my place to the market. Well, 17 head. That's 70 miles to get two of them out there. And that old GMC was getting about 9 or 10 miles a gallon of gas.
Yeah.
Still, gas is still high. Well, I figured up by the time I paid the gas bill, paid the sale bill on the cows, which was $2 a piece, I had about $23 or $24 left. I hadn't made that much money in all that whole run, day and night. I decided right then it's time for me to go. I had them figured to clear me over $250.
Yeah. But you don't eat it all up.
That's right.
Too much handling.
Well, the 17 head broke me $2,177. I get $2,100 for them.
Yeah. Well, you got acquainted with the country.
That's right. I was all over that country.
Who'd you buy them from?
I bought them from a man by the name of Lawrence Hamrick. They were good stuff. Real good stuff. They wasn't purebred Hereford, but they was all red with a white face.
Mm-hmm.
Good and in good shape. If the market had been that weak, like it was the week before, I'd have made them a $250.
Yeah. A poor man can't hold a bag.
No. Definitely not.
Also, if you need the money, you can't take a chance. You can't play the market. That takes margin. Well, you had nice people all up in that deal with.
Oh, yeah.
When they told you something about the cattle, you could pretty well
believe
depend on it.
Yeah. And to this day, Guy, I have never priced another man's stock.
Oh.
No, sir. Let him set that price first. And then you figure from there.
Yeah. Well, what is the great difficulty in setting a figure?
Well, I play them like this. Say, for instance, I went out here to buy a yearling heifer, which today would bring around $100 on the market, on an average. Just a grade heifer, bring around $100. Alright, if I go out here to buy that heifer, and the man asked me $110, I just have to say, no, I can't pay that. He said, well, what can you pay? I'd tell him what I could afford to pay.
Mm-hmm.
But I would offer him a certain amount. And if he took it, well, that's his tough luck. If he wanted $110 and I offered him $75 and he took it, why, that's his tough luck.
Mm-hmm.
You can go to bed at night and go to sleep with a clear conscience that way.
Yeah.
Where if you go up and the man says, I don't know what I want for her, how much will you give me? You say, I'll give you $50, and you take her out here and make $50 off of her. I couldn't go to bed and go to sleep with a clear conscience that way, Guy.
Yeah.
That's why I would let every man set a price first. Then I would make an offer.
Mm-hmm.
And lots of times I just bought them, paid for them, say, well, I'll just take them.
If it's a fair price?
If it was a fair price.
You wouldn't haggle?
No. No, sir.
Well, there's nothing in it now.
No, sir.
Yeah, just buying and selling like you did. You got to go to market.
You got to go to market and buy poor stuff and try to grow it out and make some money that way. Otherwise, you ain't gonna make no money.
Well, when did you start on the mechanics? Was you a mechanic then?
I was a mechanic before I went in the Army.
But you didn't follow that trade up there?
For a while I was working, yes. After I come out of the Army, that's all I'd done for, I come out of the Army in 52, and I took sick and went in the hospital in 55. January 55. The boss took me to the hospital, Charleston General Hospital, January the 8th, 55. I stayed there till January the 14th, and Helen went in on January the 17th, and Harriet Ann was born on January the 18th.
How long were you there?
In the hospital? From the 8th until the 14th.
'55.
Mm-hmm.
Now, was you doing mechanic work then?
Yes, sir.
And after that, you quit?
After that, they wouldn't let me work for 6 months.
Oh. Oh, you just had to take it easy.
That's right. Live on milk and eggs. 6 months.
Yeah. Elsa?
Right. So that's when I went back to the farm.
Yeah.
I moved back to the farm then.
Well, what are you doing with an Elsa?
I don't know.
You don't worry.
I do a lot of worrying.
You didn't then. I always think of worrying is getting the office. But your uncle down here, Uncle, what's his name?
Cluster.
He come down here and he just left the family behind.
That's right. Since then, he's had two of his boys come down. One of them, he taught out at the university for a while. He was out in the poultry science department for a while.
Yeah.
And he went back to Athens, Georgia, the university up there.
Yeah.
Then he went from Athens to Washington, up to the State House. He was up at the White House for a while. Oh, yeah. Big wheel.
Now, that's Uncle Cluster's boy.
That's right. Then he left there and came back to Columbus, Ohio, and he's teaching in Columbus, Ohio right now.
Hmm. So he done well.
Real well. Real well. Then he has another boy over here in Gainesville now. Bernard Cook. He has this Cook's Door Control Service. Works on automatic doors that open, like these supermarkets and so forth. You walk up there and step on that pad and it opens automatically. Now he installs and repairs those.
That'd be right ticklish work, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Because they gotta work.
So that's what he does. And just if you're late, well, I'd say within the last 6 or 7 months, 8 months, after Uncle Cluster was operated on for gallbladder over at the Veterans Hospital, he's been calling me up once in a while.
Yeah.
Since then. Well, they called me then and told me that he was in the hospital.
Yeah.
And what his trouble was.
Yeah. Well, that's unusual, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Yes, that's unusual. Kinfolks generally keep together, see each other every now and then.
And see, I'm the only one of my immediate family that's in the state of Florida.
Yeah.
All my immediate family's back up in West Virginia and Ohio.
Yeah. Well, if we weren't in Oaktown, we'd go do something, but I'm not, I'm just in Oaktown, I can't get organized. This cloudy weather, you know, if you've got anything to do inside, this is the time to do it.
Mm-hmm. Well, I just feel this, I feel awful myself.
You have these headaches, right, Mark?
Oh, yeah.
Got some more coffee?
No, I've got a half a cup for you.
Uncle Cluster. What did Mr. Todd say about your this garbage disposal, your
septic tank?
Septic tank.
He told me what I have to do it, and he'll help me. He'll come down and supervise it.
Mm-hmm.
And they get the material out there.
Well, that's most of the battle, that supervising.
Oh, yeah.
Knowing what to get.
Well, he told me what to get. Told me how many blocks and how much sand and cement and everything to get.
Now, wind's got sand and blocks and cement.
Yeah.
They'll haul it up here. Cost you more. Depends on whether you're on pay. I'd rather have them, you know, do it. And you gotta have you can't connect your electricity yourself.
I got a friend, first cousin, Helen's, lives down at Crystal River. We think they're coming up this weekend. And if they come up this weekend, well, I'll get him to put his seal on the inside of the box and I'll go ahead and hang it up anyway.
Now that's all he got to do.
That's right.
Just put his seal on it.
Mm-hmm. If he don't come up, I may go down and get a seal so I can stick it on there myself.
Oh, What's wrong with that? He can send you one.
Yeah. It's sealed with his name and number or something on it. Anyway, they got a number to go by.
Yeah. How much it cost you, ordinarily?
To get someone to do it? $50.
You couldn't possibly cost that.
They furnished they got to furnish the box, see, and everything. And then install it for $50.
Oh, that's the total cost.
Total cost, box and all.
Yeah, but the box would cost you $12 or $15, and the wire would cost you a couple of dollars.
No, so the wire cost me $6.
$6.
$6.67 is what the wire cost me. The box cost me $17.
That's a little high.
That's a little high, but I couldn't went in Gainesville and bought one wholesale.
And they didn't have them at the home builders.
They didn't have them at home builders.
And Sears, you have to order.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. I might get it next week, and I might get it next month, or I might not even get it.
You get it in a couple of days.
My luck could be about a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
Well, that's $23.
Yeah.
That's cost me about, well, I'll say $24. Well, I saved myself $26.
And it takes the electrician about 20 minutes to put it up?
A half an hour at the most. That's pretty expensive labor, ain't it?
Yeah. And he got to come out here.
Yeah, but you can't hardly get one to come unless you got two or three jobs.
He wouldn't come for that?
Not for one job. No. Uh-uh. You'd call them and they'd say, well, the first time we got a man down that way, we'll have him hook it up.
Well, you wouldn't call some electrician. You'd call one of the officers up there.
Yeah. You got to work through them officers.
Haven't you got any electrician friends there in Hawthorne?
Uh-uh.
You know some.
I know them, but I know one in Melrose. But his old saying goes, he's a bigger crook than I am, so I couldn't deal with him.
Yeah.
He'd take me for a ride and let me pull a wagon right along.
Well, you know, that's what I found out in farming out here. If I could get two or three fellas to keep me going, I could sort of halfway make it.
Uh-huh.
But suppose I didn't have anybody to call on, say, in electrical or in mechanical or something like that.
That's right.
I'm in bad shape.
Yes, sir.
I was in bad shape.
Yes, sir. It's like when that baler was jammed down there.
That's right. And your neighbors don't help you anymore.
You should, that's right. You'd have had to wait for a Red Smith to come from Ocala out here.
That's hard, hard to see. Your neighbor's just not worth a super hoot anymore. No. They just don't think like that.
Just dog eat dog.
You think that's what it is?
That's right. That's right.
Just
you work your property and I'll work mine. That's the way they think about it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I was never brought up that way, guy.
Yeah.
I was brought up to help one another.
Yeah.
Do unto others as you have them do unto you. If you get in the mud hole today, if your neighbor gets in the mud hole, go help him out, because you may get in the mud hole tomorrow.
Yeah. Well, I didn't find anybody out here that I could work with to do me any good or do them any good. And up to Atalachia where I was, some of them fellas around there, I worked along with them. But some of them were just I remember I had to bring electricity out there. And it needed to come across this fella, corner of his place, and he wouldn't let the man put it across. And he just an ordinary fella, just common, ordinary, just like the rest of us.
Yeah.
But he wouldn't have a thing to do with it. No, sir. So that's one reason I left up there. I just had a hard time. As I look back at it, I think it's my fault as much as anything else. You kind of got to know. I didn't know enough about the farming end of it. You kind of got to know what to expect. You can't just.
That's right.
Expect so much.
You can't expect it all to be a bed of roses.
And by that time, everybody was doing public work anyhow and just farming a little on the side.
Well, I don't know whether I've helped you out very much or not, but you certainly relieved me of a big burden.
Got a place to ride your horses?
That's right. That's right.
Well, I think the nice thing is just keep a little something going, you know, and not have too much. Not have enough is burdensome. Yeah, children break things. That's no matter. Don't worry about them. In this minute, you know, you can't worry about your children, you know, behaving, not breaking about breaking things. That that make everybody nervous. Oh shit!
Oh boy, I tell you, man, and children of mine, they get kind of loud sometimes.
Yeah, that's what they're supposed to do.
I try to keep them quiet. Well, Guy, I'm going to get out of here and go to the house.
Okay.
See what the Woodland Orphans is doing.
All right.
We've got to go see another family tonight. The barber up in Hawthorne, he passed away last night.
Oh?
Uh-huh.
One of your neighbors?
One of the neighbors, yeah, that's in Hawthorne.
Hmm.
Same ailment.
Can you?
Same ailment.
Dad burn.
You know, I'm a face problem. It doesn't make me look at you. Thank you.
would have washed them out.